3:41 on a Monday afternoon. We're having all kinds of fun here in the studios of AM 930 WEOL, recapping the weekend that was, well, at least from a sporting perspective, although I guess this kind of depends on who you had money on at the Kentucky Derby, but as far as we're concerned, a pretty nice sports weekend with the Cleveland Cavaliers capping off a sweep with the Toronto Raptors, the Indians taking 2 out of 3 on the road in their series against the Kansas City Royals. Certainly all is well in this part of the state as we continue to move along here on a Monday. We bring in one of our very favorites, our Hollywood insider, Al Harris, here on Bullseye on the afternoon. Al, how are you?
I'm good, Bull. How are you doing?
Lovely, my friend. Lots and lots of big Hollywood news this week. And before we get into anything else,
yes,
I did see Guardians of the Galaxy. I know you're always busy on the weekend, so I'm not sure if you've had the chance to see this thing or not. But it was awesome, and I'm just kind of curious. If you saw it, I want to know what you thought about it. And even if not, I want to know what the buzz is in Hollywood about this movie.
Well, I actually was able to see it this weekend, and I enjoyed it. I didn't like it as much as the first one, and I think, I thought it was very funny and entertaining, and some of the action pieces were great. I thought it got kind of slow in the middle section when it bogged down with all, like, the family issues. I thought it tried to be a little more serious when it was dealing with those family issues that was necessary. And I thought, you know, I recommend it. I thought it was a blast. If you like the first one, you're going to like this one. I just don't think it was the step up that I was hoping for. It felt more of like a retread. And as far as what I'm reading, you know, in Hollywood and what I've heard is pretty much the same, where it's like, it's good. Go see it. But is it an improvement on the first one? Not really.
See, I remember when I saw the first one, I came away thinking, all right, it wasn't bad. Maybe I need to go back and watch that first one again. But I walked away from this one thinking, wow, that was really awesome. I thought it was very funny. I thought it was very well written. I thought it was very well done. And again, maybe I need to go back and watch that first Guardians of the Galaxy all over again. But when I walked away from this one, I came away extraordinarily impressed. I thought it was a good story. Obviously, there was a lot of star power in there as well. Mm-hmm. And again, they kind of left you wanting some more.
I agree. I think they set up for the third one very well. And I think they did some great stuff in this. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I just felt like a big pet peeve of mine in general is when movies go to the same, like, joke well, per se. Whether it was Deadpool and a lot of the sex jokes that they went over and over with. The Guardians went a little heavy on the Baby Groot stuff and a little heavy on some of the family issues and some of the, you know, Drax being very literal. I found that stuff very funny, but I thought they may have overdid it a little bit. And so while I enjoyed it, I felt it was a little bit of a mess. They tried to do a little too much, but, you know, especially when it comes to blockbusters and Marvel movies in general, it's still a top-tier one. It still does stuff that most of these other superhero movies do not do, which I thoroughly applaud.
And, of course, it did pretty well, too. I mean, I think they pulled in more than they were anticipating that they would bring in. I want to say that in the States it brought in somewhere in the area of $140 million, and I think worldwide it did extraordinarily well also. I mentioned Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to respond to that because I found it interesting because we were, you know, the big one that came out this year so far was The Fate of the Furious. And so comparing, like, the two, it's great. Guardians of the Galaxy crushed it as far as domestic first weekend, but didn't do nearly half of what Fate of the Furious did worldwide. And while Guardians did, what, $145 million, I think, Fate of the Furious was $90 million the first week, which is incredible for both those films. It seems like the Fate of the Furious has more of an international appeal than Guardians does, and maybe that's just because they're 8 in. I don't know exactly what it is, but that being said, Guardians did fantastic this weekend, and even though it didn't do nearly as well overall as Fate of the Furious, we'll see how it goes as the weeks progress.
We're talking with our Hollywood insider, Al Harris, here on Bullseye on the afternoon, and I want to touch on something that we talked about briefly last week. The writers' strike has since been resolved. Now, when we talked a week ago, it was eerily quiet. You know, there weren't many folks saying a whole lot about it, and I thought it was odd that 12 hours later this thing was wrapped up and there was no more strike. Do you know anything about the terms of the deal, any kinds of details as to what the writers are getting now differently than what they were getting before?
Well, I think they got a lot of what they were looking for. They were able to get some increase on TV residuals, which was a big thing that they wanted to do. They were able to get parental leave and some other stuff as far as getting – I think the big thing was getting the residuals on certain things. The one thing I haven't seen and I'm wondering is, because I know a big thing was the exclusive rights, that once they're on a show during the offseason, they could work on another show, and I haven't read anything about that. But I know as far as they're getting a lot more money on certain things and – pay increases on certain shows, which is a huge boost to them. And as far as I know, it's a 10-year deal, so hopefully we avert another strike in the next 10 years.
Yeah, let's try and do that, because we saw the effects of this when it last happened about 9 years ago. You know, there were a lot of movies that were kind of left in limbo. And I think there were a lot of movies that were kind of post-production when this happened. And when that happens, you just don't know how these things are going to finish. I know that might sound like a foreign language to some folks, but I know you specifically know what kind of a profound impact that can have.
Oh, for sure. It's a lot of people without jobs, a lot of people looking for stuff. And like I said last week, it would have, I think, been a boon to digital video and kind of really hurt the networks. And I think maybe that was something that was different than 10 years ago, that, you know, because of how big digital is now, certain people were willing to make more, you know, to make this a done deal than they were in the past.
Sure. No, that makes plenty of sense. Wanted to throw this at you. Yeah, I'm not sure how big you are on the MTV Movie Awards. Kind of feel like this is just like another one thrown on. I guess, what makes this different? You know, and I don't know if there are any big surprises in here. You know, when I take a look at who won, I guess I'm not totally shocked, and I'm not saying that there wasn't anybody in there that wasn't deserving, but when you look at this MTV Movie Awards thing, does it do it for you? Or I guess, like, what sets this aside and makes this so much different than any of the others?
No, it doesn't do much for me. Honestly, if you didn't bring it up this morning, I probably wouldn't have even brought it up. But since we're here, I think the two main things that separate it from the other award show, one is that it gears towards younger people. You know, a little older than the Nickelodeon crowd, because you have those Teen Choice Awards. It's more of like, I would say, like, I don't know, 18 to late 20s. And it's one of the few award shows that really focuses on, like, the blockbuster movies. They do a little bit for, you know, some of the independent stuff, like Best Kiss was won by Moonlight. But for the most part, you know, it helps out with the blockbusters. Like, the best movie of the year was Beauty and the Beast. That's not going to win an Oscar. That's not going to win a Golden Globe. But it's kind of their way of, like, you know, saying a shout-out to the big network pieces. Or not network, out of studio.
What's the allure? I mean, I know Stranger Things won some awards there as well. What's the big allure there for Stranger Things? I've never seen it. I've heard some pretty good things about it. But, again, I've never seen a single episode of that. That's a Netflix series, correct?
Yes. I'm not as high on it as a lot of people are, and trust me, a lot of the people I know here absolutely adore it. Anytime I'm with people in the industry, they love to talk about Stranger Things. And I think a lot of the appeal, too, is it's, you know, it's a throwback to, like, the 80s, where a lot of these people were growing up, but a lot of the 80s, like, adventure stuff, like Goonies, but with a little bit of, like, a horror element to it. It does very well on, like, the nostalgia thing, and I think especially with, you know, people that grew up in that time now becoming, like, you know, in their 30s, early 40s, it hits that sweet spot, and it's really unabashedly nostalgic, so people can, you know, enjoy, relive their childhoods through this series. And I think they do some stuff great. I think they get a little bogged down with, like, the horror and science aspects of it, but I think it's a good show. I'm just not as adoring as a lot of other people are.
Al Harris, our Hollywood insider, our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Want to ask you about a couple of trailers before we get your picks to click. There are two that have us pretty excited. I'm going to stick to just one for this week, and these don't come out for at least a little while. But I want to ask you about this one trailer that came out towards the end of last week in particular, in The Dark Tower. It's a Stephen King. It's based off a Stephen King book, correct?
Yes.
With Idris Elba and Matthew McConaughey. Don't know if you've seen that trailer yet, but, man, does it look awesome.
I have, and I vehemently disagree with you.
What don't you like about it?
I, for some reason, it just felt like, I don't know, I've not read the book. I know there's people that love the book. It's supposed, this movie's been in development hell. They tried to development in, like, 07 with J.J. Abrams. And usually when movies are in that much of development hell, you can kind of, there's a reason why. And to me, the trailer looked kind of Marvel-esque and not as, like, dark and mysterious as what I've been told the source material is. It looked kind of like what I was hoping for was, like, you know, one of those really interesting sci-fi kind of, you know, like an old Ridley Scott movie, something like that. Instead, it looks kind of like a new blockbuster. That being said, I thought Idris Elba looked great, and I'm excited any opportunity he gets to, you know, lead a film like this. And the other worry is just the release date. Something like, I think it comes out in August. That's never, it's something that's kind of in between of like blockbusters and like, you know, a big time movie. It's kind of, it's a rough release date. I mean, we'll see what happens. I didn't love the trailer. I know there's certain people that did. To me, it didn't look too appealing.
All righty, my friend. Well, we'll agree to disagree for now.
We will.
But we do need your weekly picks to click.
Yes. And we didn't do it last week, which I'm actually glad because last week was a little rough. I didn't really have much to talk about. But this week there's actually two, and I think they both come out this weekend. One is season two of Aziz Ansari's Master of None on Netflix, which is a great show. The first season was fantastic, and I recommend anyone to check out that before the second season is released. But it's kind of a more fun version of Louis, where he tackles, like, you know, aspects that mean something to him. Each episode, there's not really a overarching thread, like, as far as narrative-wise, but a lot of the themes are, and it's really about, you know, being an Indian American trying to get into Hollywood, and then a lot of, like, the millennial dating issues that most of these shows have, but it's a very interesting take on it. And then the other show, which is, from what I heard, getting great reviews, is I Love Dick, which is the new show from Jill Soloway, who created Transparent. It's another Hulu show starring Kevin Bacon and Katherine Hahn. And from what I've heard, it's supposed to be great and looks fantastic, so I'm looking forward to that as well.
All righty, Al. Well, we appreciate the time every single week. We love it when you come on. Mondays are always good days when we talk to our good buddy Al Harris, and we look forward to doing it again next week, my friend.
All right, thanks a lot, Bull. Have a good weekend.
You too.
A good week.
All right, yeah. Weekend, same, right?
It all blends together. All right, man.
All right, Al, thanks. That's our Hollywood insider, Al Harris, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We need to get a break in. We're coming right back after this. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.